All right. Hello. Let's come back together. Man, you'd think you people haven't been here in like 10 or 12 weeks. What is going on? Here, want to race? I would have won. Nice. Jonah said, this is a lot like church in Africa. You just roll with whatever happens. I'm like, yeah. All right, we have we're going to share communion together, and so I'm going to have Ben come and lead us in that time. And I can get myself ready while he's coming.
Thanks, sir. So I want to be the first to say happy birthday. Thank you. Hang on to that for a minute. I'll tell you the story. So 53 days ago, we started this little journey with Passover. And as you remember, Passover was a parallel timeline between what happened in Egypt and what happened with Jesus. And we walked through this story about choosing a lamb and sanctifying it. And then killing it and catching the blood, putting it on the doorposts. And the angel of the Lord delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt. And that was a type of the story of Jesus being the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And as soon as they got out of Egypt, God set up a feast of memorial for them, for the Jews, had them begin, for the rest of time, a festival, a feast. First one was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it started, by Levitical law, it started the day after Sabbath, after Passover. Well, in Jesus' day, what happened on the day after Sabbath, after Passover? Jesus rose again. That's resurrection. But he started this process with them on that first Sunday after Passover. And at the same time, at the very same day, he started another feast called the Feast of Weeks. Or it has a Hebrew name. You can call it Shavuot or whatever you would like. But it is a period of seven sevens, 49, a perfect number of perfects, if that makes sense, a complete number of completes. That's what seven means to God. And on the day after that was the 50th, or the word we get for Pentecost. So, the 50th day for the Jews, after they came out of Israel, was the day they were gathered around the base of Mount Sinai, and God met them in the mountain and made a covenant with them and gave them the law. That was the beginning of not just being the descendants of Abraham, but of being God's chosen people. He made covenant with them on that 50th day. Well, that is all mirrored in our story, in Jesus' story, where on the 40th day, Jesus went back to heaven. He said, I have to go, because if I don't go, the Comforter won't come. And on the 50th day, what had been spoken by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, that I will write my law in your hearts and make a new covenant with you, came to pass on that 50th day. That was the beginning of the bride. So happy birthday. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 that our forefathers, they all followed that cloud. They all were baptized in the sea. They all were baptized in that cloud. They all drank from the same spiritual rock, and that spiritual rock was Jesus. Well, here we're here this morning. In fact, Zach talked last week about the woman at the well and how living water would spring up out of her, rivers of living water. John chapter 6 talks about the bread of life. There's some hard verses in there. The ones where Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. Well, let me go back a step. He says, I am the bread of life. He who eats me has eternal life. Now, that's not life like bios life, physical life. My heart goes ka-thunk. It's not that. It's Zoe life, spiritual life. Woohoo, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. We have illustrations today. That's a picture of my spirit, my whole body, soul, and spirit requiring nourishment. So when Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life, he's talking about life to not just my body, but to my soul and my spirit. You ever think about what eternal life means? Who has eternal life? Don't say me just yet. We do in a minute. The only one that lives eternally is God. So how do you get eternal life? You take into yourself the food that is provided, the rock that is Jesus Christ, the bread of life that is Jesus Christ, and now you have the one who cannot die and is eternal life inside of you. That's the transforming thing that gives you eternal life. It's not something that I changed your status and now you don't die. No, I put myself in you as the creator of the universe. You now have my life and you will never die. Do you understand? Do we grasp that? So when we take this little, I don't even know what to call it yet, this little meal in a can. Because unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood meant we were eating these little things, it wouldn't matter if you ate 1,000 of them. They're not going to do anything to your spirit man. They're not going to quicken, make alive your soul and your spirit. That is done by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in here. And what we do when we take these is we recall, we remember, we bring to mind what has been done on our behalf. So this morning, on our birthday, we don't get cake. We don't get to use the senior menu at McDonald's, although that's kind of cool, I guess. I'm now eligible. But I know it's pretty sad, isn't it? Will you still be my friend? We don't get those things, but we do get the life of God dwelling inside us. What an amazing miracle. What an incredible thing that the Creator, who spoke and there was life, chooses to dwell in me and give me his life. So, Father, thank you so much for this finished work that you have done, for this story that started thousands of years ago, that pointed us to your Son, that pointed to the source of life. And all we have to do is believe and receive what is finished for our behalf. We take these little emblems this morning and we look back to a finished work, to a work that makes us alive, not just for now, but for eternity. We thank you. We give you praise. You alone are worthy.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Good word. Thank you, sir. I apologize beforehand for the taste of what you're about to partake of, but it's not about the taste. Wowza. All right, kids, listen up. And Phil, you too. I'm gonna be speaking to you guys a little bit today, I think. I'm gonna be sharing with you out of Exodus, I think 19 and 20. But I'm going to tell it in the Zach version so that I can talk to kids too. And not that you cannot understand the Bible. Please hear what I'm saying. I just enjoy doing it this way. All right. How many of you guys, let me back up. I recognize that not everybody knows all the people in the Bible. Like, not everybody knows who Moses was and what he did, and so sometimes when you're preaching down here, it's really easy to just be like, remember Moses did this and remember that and blah, and people are like, no, I don't remember anything that you're saying. So I'm going to try not to do too much of that, tell you a little bit of a story, and then I'm going to bring it home for everybody. So let's pray, and then I'm going to jump in. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is alive, that it's active, that your word goes out and accomplishes everything that you send it to do. So, Lord, today I pray that your word would go forth, penetrate our hearts, open our ears, and do what only your word can do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, kids and adults, and you guys know who Moses was, right? Does everybody know who Moses was? Because I can certainly tell you who he... Okay, good. I'm glad to know, Avery, you know who Moses was. So that's really good. And no, you're good raising your hand. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I'm going to go over here so I don't embarrass Avery. Moses was used by God to lead Israel out of Egypt, right? We know this. Do you know how many Israelites there were that he was bringing out? Now, there's a bit of, like, maybe some arguing that goes on with this. Some say as many as 3 million. Like, that's a big number, 3 million. Some say 1 million. It's a lot, okay? We'll just say a lot. More than that is in all of Alaska. Lots. Like, at least twice as many. Lots. Now, God uses Moses to bring the children out of Israel. It wasn't just children. It was, we call them children, but it was every age people. Came out of Egypt. They go into the desert. I'm going to do the short version. All the way through, God's doing miracles, right? As he's bringing his kids out of Egypt, he takes them out in the desert, and he wants to show himself to them in a way that he had already, like, shown himself to Moses. So Moses already heard God. He saw a burning bush. You guys remember this? Like, kids, you guys remember the burning bush and God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush? Well, now he wants to show himself to everybody that is part of the Jewish, the Hebrew people. So he brings them to this mountain. Ben was talking about it a minute ago, Mount Sinai. And he brings them there, and watch this. This is really cool. So God shows up on this mountain. Do you know how God showed up on this mountain? Fire. Like it says in chapter 19 of Exodus, that fire came down from heaven, and God landed on this mountain. Now, this is really cool. I think it's cool. Maybe you won't, but I think it's cool. It actually says that as they were waiting for God, as this fire began to appear, that trumpets began to sound. Like, nobody was playing trumpets, okay? It wasn't like somebody was sitting there with a shofar horn and blowing, but they could hear shofars. This is what it says in the New King James Version. It says that they saw or they beheld thunder and lightning. Now, how do you see thunder? Anybody? Like, that's kind of weird. But it says, now, I recognize the New Living Translation says that they heard thunder, but in the original Hebrew, it says that they beheld or they saw thunder. Now, we hear thunder, right? Not too much up here, but we hear thunder and we see lightning. But it says that they saw the thunderings, saw the lightnings, that these shofars were blowing, the earth was shaking, and this fire was coming down from heaven. It lands on this mountain, and everything goes dead silent. Just like that. That was kind of cool. Let's try that again. Sweet. Okay. Just want to see if it would work. So everything goes dead silent. God begins to speak, right? So we call this the Ten Commandments. In Hebrew, it's called the Ten Sayings. You know why? Because there was 613 of them. It wasn't just 10. For real. Look it up. 613 laws that God gave. It's known as the Torah in Hebrew. So this is going to get maybe a little bit weird for some of you, but this is in Hebrew tradition and Hebrew teaching, this is how it's said. That all of the children of Israel and Moses leading them come to the mountain. God begins to speak, and he shares the first commandment, or the first saying, and all of the people died. Again, I know this is going to sound weird. They all died. Then God brought them back to life. Then God spoke the second commandment, and all the people died. And God brought them back to life. Now, you can believe that or not. I don't really care whether you believe it or not. I know that I serve a supernatural God, and he can do whatever he wants. He's the author of life. He's the author of death. He can do whatever he wants to do. He holds all of that in his hand. And so whether or not that is absolute or not, I don't know. I know that that is what is said of. And then we see that the Israelites freak out, and they say this: we don't want to hear from God anymore. Enough's enough. Moses, you go hear what God has to say and then come tell me what he said, or come tell us, the millions of people, come tell us what he said, but we can't deal with this anymore. Kind of makes sense that that's maybe what was going on. Freak out time. Anyway, so whatever happened, the truth is they heard from God. They did freak out. They didn't want to hear anymore. They said, Moses, you go hear from God, and we will stand at a distance, and you let us know what he said. At this point, Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God for 40 days, right? So he said these commandments, these sayings, and then Moses goes up and he sits with God, and Moses doesn't write it down. God wrote it down. Did you know that? We see, like, I don't know, y'all ever seen Charlton Heston's show, The Ten Commandments, and God, yeah, right? Like, it wasn't quite like that. But close, I suppose. I don't know, I wasn't there. But there was this tablets of stone that God wrote upon, and he wrote what we know as the Ten Commandments in stone. Moses brought them down to the people. And so here's where it gets really kind of cool for me. God's voice has no echo. Watch. Kids, you ever gone out? I guess I could talk to adults too. Adults, you ever gone out? No. Have you ever gone out like in a canyon? Maybe you're camping. You guys just went camping, right? Have you ever been near a mountain and you yell something? Dad. And it goes, Mom, Mom. I mean, Dad, Dad, Dad. Right? You guys have done that, right? That's called an echo. When God speaks, his voice does not echo. Here's why. His voice penetrates everything. It penetrates everything living. It penetrates. You ever heard where Jesus said, if the people do not cry out, even the rocks will begin to cry out. Why? Because they were created by God, right? The trees of the forest clap their hands. Why? I mean, trees aren't like, yay, right? But the trees were created by God. Therefore, when God's voice goes forth, it doesn't bounce off anything. It penetrates everything that his voice goes forth into, because it recognizes the one that created it, and that voice penetrates in. So, as all of these millions of people are standing at the foot of this mountain, and God is speaking forth these sayings, and whether it's knocking them over dead or not, I don't know, but I know this. It was penetrating the flesh, the core of who they were, and it was bringing something to life that, here's what happened. They stopped saying, the God of our forefathers said this to our forefathers, and they began to say this, God spoke this to me. Do you see the difference? Fast forward 3,000 years-ish. We move into, Ben described it a little while ago, what we call the day of Pentecost. It's the same day, like, not exactly, but the same time frame, which was a certain feast or festival that was celebrated called Shavuot or Shavout or however you want to say it. It meant the festival of weeks. They're celebrating this time. They're sitting up in, there's 120 people sitting in an upper room. This is Acts chapter 2, by the way, if you're not sure. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, or when it was finalized, it was in its fullness that day, the Spirit of the Lord came and filled the room where these guys were. A wind began to blow, which was the Spirit of God filling the room. And then it says that something that looked like cloven, this is King James, it says something that looked like tongues of fire came and split and set upon each one. And here's the part that we get a little bit weirded out about. I don't know why, but for some reason we get really weirded out about this, and we divide churches over this, and we move away from each other and push, because it says that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, and we've created doctrines and stuff, but we leave out the idea that this happened, that God showed up in a room. His voice came down from heaven like a wind, and it penetrated the lives of every person in that room, so much so that their lives were radically changed from that point, not because they could speak in tongues, though they could. That wasn't the reason why their lives were radically changed. It was a penetration of the life force of God that went in to penetrate the lives of... Wow, I need to settle down. It penetrated the lives of all who were in that room. I'm going to start scaring kids here in a minute. So much so that it stopped being, this is the old covenant, or this is what our forefathers heard, or this is what used to be, and suddenly it became, this is the God of me. This is my God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this. They came to him one day and they said, hey, John taught his disciples to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said this, I'll teach you, watch, our Father. Wait, what? Like, why is that a big deal? Because it wasn't even legal to make him mine. Like, Do you know that the Jewish people won't even say they won't write the word God like G-O-D. They will write G-D or underscore, I guess would be more appropriate, but G_D, because the name of God, and I fully am okay with that, but the name of God is so much so that to try to personalize him to me is thought to be somewhat disrespectful. The idea that you would say, this is my father, was death. I mean, that was just horribly bad to say. So when Jesus said, I'm going to make this very personable to you, to me, that you understand that he looks at you as his son or his daughter, not just one he created and you're one of billions and one day you're going to live with him in heaven. And right? Am I alone? Hello? Okay, good. When God showed up in this upper room, the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, however you want to call it, and he penetrated the lives of people. Have you ever wondered why they spoke in tongues? Okay, good. I was waiting for somebody to say that. I'm glad I brought you to church today. when God... On the original Mount Sinai, God shows up. It is said, and again, I wasn't there, so I can't prove this, but you can't disprove this, so I'm going to say it. It's said that when God spoke, it was heard in 70 different languages. Why 70? Because that's how many languages there were on the earth at that time. You could probably Wikipedia that. I don't know if that's true, but that's, again, according to Hebrew tradition. Not that I know all of Hebrew tradition, but I do know that that is what is said, is that when the voice of God went forth, anyone that heard it would have understood it because it was spoken their language. God shows up in an upper room and he speaks to people. He penetrates their lives. They begin to speak in other tongues so that what? That those who heard it could understand it. Why? Because otherwise it's nothing but gibberish in the ears of people who are hearing it, right? Now, I'm not saying that tongues that we pray in, tongues that we speak, everybody needs to understand and it needs to be Espanol, right? ¿Tú hablas Espanol? ¿Sí? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, good. I'm not going to speak too much because I'll probably mess it all up. So, anyway... So, but I want you to understand this, that when God gives us something, when he penetrates our lives and he begins to use us and speak through us, it's meant to penetrate the lives of everyone we come in contact with, not just echo and bounce off and be. That's why, I didn't know I was going to go all these places. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, that if you can fathom all mysteries. If you have great knowledge and you just... It sounds like a clanging gong. Pong, if you don't have love mixed in that, right? If you don't have the love of God in filtering into the voice of what you're saying, it might as well just you walk around going, pong, 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 pong. Because that's what people are hearing. Why? Because it's echoing off of them instead of penetrating into them. Oh. 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter, right? I always say everybody. Lots of people know this, right? Lots of people know that it speaks all about love and. And it goes on, it talks about faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Timothy says that perfect love casts out all fear, right? What is love? Anybody? Who said that? God. God is love, right? And anyone who does not have love does not have God, 1 John, right? When we receive Holy Spirit, which is love, And that intermingles with whatever language we may be speaking. It penetrates the hearts, the lives, anything that hears what we're speaking. When we speak from a position of love, no matter what language that may be in, you catching this? The day of Pentecost was never meant to be about the ability to speak in another tongue. That comes with it, but that is not the thing that happens. It is not, we've made this thing like, this is the evidence that you have Holy Spirit, but yet we are not walking around and operating in love. We're just shatarabakotubatiado. And somehow we think that that is going to penetrate people's hearts and lives because we're speaking a different language. This is not the case. We must allow the thing that desires to penetrate the thing. Dear Jesus, I am sorry. The God who desires to so penetrate our lives and begin to be the filter for which every word that comes out of my mouth is filtered through, right? We know this. Matthew says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, that heart is not, you know, our physical organ. It's the sentient seat of where God sits in our life. It's the spiritual place where God sits in our lives, where he's enthroned. It's why we say things like, if you're going to accept Jesus, you ask him into your heart, right? Not our thin, like, boom, 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 boom. Otherwise, I'd never quit. But we ask him into the core of who we are, so that out of that place, we begin to speak life, speak love, speak family, speak friendship, speak, you understand? Because that place, when we've received God into us, and that's where we communicate from, that's where we, love is a universal language, right? I'll challenge you to do this. Go to some country that you don't speak their language and just look mad all the time. See how far you get. Go to that same country and love people. Like, you ever been on a mission field where you didn't speak their language, but you hug somebody and it changes everything? Or you impact them in a way that maybe you don't understand a word they're saying, but tears are flowing because you're just loving? That is a universal language that penetrates the life of everyone it comes in contact with, because true, authentic love is not the, I love you. I mean, that's good. Man, and I love you so much. But I got to walk away from her. But are you catching what I'm laying down here? Because I think it's important that on this day specifically, that we really grab a hold of what God wants to do in our lives and how he wants to penetrate our lives. That when we, you get that? I like that. That's good. Sorry, Isaac. Are you getting it? Okay, good. Because God really wants to penetrate your life. He wants to penetrate your heart. He wants to penetrate everything that you are so that you look different, you talk different, you act different. Everything about you becomes different, and you too. Because, right? Because he has so gone inside here. It's just me and you today, okay? Nobody else is here. I want you to get this for real. God wants to so live inside here that everything, every time you talk to your mom, every time you talk to even your brother, that you speak to him out of a place of love, right? It'll change your life. Okay, the rest of y'all can listen now. So, here's the thing. We are really good as Christian people at figuring out what lines we can have to push others away And I am certainly all for being doctrinally sound, having good theology. I'm not negating any of those things. I'm just saying that God's desire is, again, going back to Acts 2, you can look here if you want. It says in verse, I think 3, it says, no, it was verse 2, I think. They were all together in one place, in one accord, is the way it says it. In other words, it wasn't that they all thought exactly the same. It wasn't that every one of them like had the same exact theology. In fact, they didn't. Like, read the Bible and you'll see that, and I'm not saying you don't read the Bible, just hear what I'm saying. You'll see or you'll find that the disciples had very differing thoughts because they came from different walks of life. They had different encounters. They had different things that took place in their lives. Therefore, they had differing thoughts and understandings and ideas, but yet it says they were in one accord. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, it happens again. Same type of encounter with Holy Spirit, but at that point it says they were all together in... How does it say it? They had all things in common is what it says. But in chapter 2, back to that, they were in one place, in one accord. It means that their hearts and their lives were centered on one thing. And that was, Jesus said, to sit here and wait until you're endued with power from on high. They were in a place of uniting themselves together, not based upon anything other than what Jesus said. Not, well, how did you hear that? Did he say we were supposed to sit, or did he say we were supposed to stand? Wait, I see you rocking. He didn't say rock. He said stand, wait, tarry. What is tarry? Who's tarry? Where is tarry? Right? This is what we do. And we're like, you're not Terry. You don't belong in the room. You're sitting. I'm standing. This is not okay. I'm going to find my own room now. And we begin to separate and push people away because we do things a little differently than I'm used to or that I like. But love is the universal language, right? Not rejection. And so love binds, right? Therefore, hatred or dislike or whatever you want to call it, pushes away. So I'm not going to take up a lot more of your time. I know that there's a lot of kids in here and people are hungry. So here's what I want to do. Two things. Oh, somebody had me timed. You better be done, man. Wow. You know what's funny is Phil probably set that up over there, didn't you? Yeah. Turkey. It was either you or Matt. One of the two. In all seriousness, we do have a lot of food that we bought that we're going to be grilling hamburgers and hot dogs and lots of food. And we have people who are going to be disperse it here. Hello, camera. The food is going to be dispersed by people wearing gloves, and therefore we are not doing a communal meal. Nobody brought their own food. This food is being provided for you. I'm not being facetious. Anyone who is doing those things, I am good with. I do not mean to be offensive. I'm really just trying to be fun. If you are one who is staying home and not being part of these things, I am totally good with that, and I release you to continue to do so. But I do, in all seriousness, want you to know that we are taking every precaution in serving food, that we are not doing so lightly. If you didn't plan on staying, you should anyway. There's plenty of food. But there's some food that God wants to give you right now as well. And so I'd like it if you would all stand with me. And I want to pray for you. I would like to have families are pretty much together, so we're good. I believe that God wants to encounter you today in a way that radically shapes and shifts things going on in your families, things going on in your friendships, things going on with your children. I've had a lot of different people that I've been talking with and dealing with that are going through lots of hard things, because the enemy is not stopping. He's not quitting. He's not, we have a real live enemy that wants to take you out and try to kill your family and kill your relationships. And yeah, that's good. I'm glad you guys came down. If you're not with your family, go be with your family right now, because I want to pray over you and just believe that God wants to penetrate into your lives and so radically shift everything going on with you. So would you just pray with me? Father, thank you that today is a day of encounter, that today is a day that can and will shift everything about our lives, that things that the enemy has meant to try and cause harm and destruction, that, Lord, you are in process of restoring and fixing, and you're restoring promise, you're restoring health, you're restoring marriage, you're restoring family, you're restoring children, you're restoring friendships. God, I pray that today would be a radical shift, that we would hear your voice, that would penetrate our lives, and that we would carry that thing, that penetrating voice into our lives in such a way that we impact everything and everyone around us as we speak from that place, that it shifts other people's lives and situations. I pray for those who are listening online, specifically Eric, as you're sitting out in your motorhome right now, in the name of Jesus, I release over you the Spirit that would bring forth and penetrate all that you come in contact with. Those who are sitting at home right now, I speak forth in the name of Jesus, penetrating life-giving Jesus into your home and into your lives. I pray, God, for things today. Lord, I heard specifically weeks ago that the day of Pentecost, things are shifting. In the body of Christ, things are shifting and changing. And so today, God, I just stand in belief for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. We say yes to you, and we love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer, find somebody, go out and share in the meal out there, find somebody and ask them to pray for you, you're dismissed. Bless you. Thank you for coming.